nur Golf auf meinsportpodcast.de.
BMW International Open 2019 in München-Eichenried. Morgen geht's los auf der Anlage. Dann werden die ersten Superstars an den Abschlag gehen. Martin Keimer ist mit dabei, Thomas Björn ist mit dabei, Torbjörn Olesen ist mit dabei, Titelverteidiger Matt Wallace ist mit dabei und einer von der PGA Tour ist auch rübergekommen. Jemand, der relativ selten in Europa abschlägt. Jonathan Vegas, nämlich der Mann aus Venezuela. Auch der gibt sich in München die Ehre. Und unsere Kollegin Desiree Wolf, die hatte Gelegenheit, zusammen mit dem Kollegen Tom Carlyle von der European Tour und mit Felix Haselsteiner von der Süddeutschen Zeitung mit Jonathan Vegas im Vorfeld zu sprechen. Ihr hört ein Gespräch über die BMW International Open, aber auch über die politische Lage im Heimatland von Jonathan Vegas in Venezuela. Da geht es ja gerade ziemlich drunter und drüber in Sachen Politik. Jonathan Vegas spricht darüber, wie ihn diese Vorgänge in seiner Heimat belasten. Jetzt hier bei uns im Interview auf meinsportpodcast.de bei Nurgolf.
Johnny, welcome to the BMW International.
Thank you.
It's your first sort of regular European Tour event. How are you enjoying it over here so far?
Loving it, believe it or not. Yeah, I mean, having a great time. Obviously, the weather's been amazing. Mm-hmm. My type of weather, a little warmer, so that's a great start for me. But no, I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, I have tons of friends in the European Tour. You know, guys that we see on a regular basis, some that I haven't seen in a while. That it's phenomenal catching up with. Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good. Like I was telling my wife yesterday, it's good to have a little different air, a little fresh air. Coming and seeing the guys, seeing a whole different atmosphere, getting to meet, you know, a whole different spectrum of people in Europe. So it's been a blast. It's been a blast ever since we got out of the plane. We're having, like I said, we're having a good time right now.
Yeah. And when you were given the opportunity to come and play this event, must have been an easy decision to make.
I mean, extremely easy. One, because obviously I'm Venezuelan and I like playing around the world. So that's just something that I've seen myself, and that's something that I've talked to my agents a lot about. That I need to become a little bit more of an international player, not only playing in the U.S. But I mean, the U.S. is still my main tour, but obviously I like to focus on being an international player. And also, you know, like I said, my wife is half German. She has family that live here in Munich. So it was a super easy decision with both. I mean, coming to play golf, that would be a great opportunity for her to see her family and spend time with her, with them. And like I said, it was just one of those things that worked out. And like I said, I mean, I've always looked forward to playing other places, to winning golf tournaments outside the U.S., and this is a good opportunity.
Yeah, and you say winning golf tournaments outside the U.S., you won the Canadian Open twice, so you've got form for doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the form, it's kind of getting used to the place that you're at, especially for a lot of us that tend to focus a lot on playing in the U.S., kind of embracing the culture, embracing where you are, enjoying it, having a good time. That's always a great start. Obviously, kind of embracing the people and, you know, the language, that everything that comes, in this case, with Germany. The more you can do that, the better you can deal with a lot of that stuff, the better it's going to translate into the golf course, which like I said, I've done in the past with, you know, winning a lot all over South America and the U.S. and Canada.
You know, obviously you were talking about Venezuela, you grew up there. Tell us a bit about, you know, how was golf, what was golf for you when you were young, was that like?
So golf in Venezuela has always been a challenge. I think I've always been extremely lucky and blessed, one, to play golf, and two, to be able to do it, all the way to this level. Because of, I mean, Venezuela is really a minor sport. It's a sport that is, you know, kind of seen for the wealthy, super wealthy in my country, and it's been kind of attacked a lot by our government. By any means, I come from a wealthy family. I was lucky enough to have a dad that kind of grew up near a golf course, you know, grew up picking up range balls to make a little bit of money. And then that love for the game kind of he passed down to us. We were super lucky to grow up near a 9-hole golf course. So obviously, you know, picked up the game that way, and then made great decisions into coming to the U.S. and kind of kind of developing the game that way. But it was always a challenge. Growing up there, playing golf there, but obviously the love for the game and the passion for it was bigger than any of that, and has taken me all the way to here.
I imagine it must have been a great step coming to the U.S. as a youngster. I mean, did you speak English? Or?
No, I didn't speak English at all. It was probably one of the best decisions of my life. Leaving home when I was 17, which wasn't easy, leaving everything behind. But it was always a dream of playing golf and doing all that stuff. And the U.S. presents one of the best opportunities in the world, if not the best, to do both, to play college and golf at the same time. And I was able to take advantage of that, develop my game in a proper way, and a few years later, I turned professional and embarked this great journey.
I mean, pretty quickly you started winning on the PGA Tour, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I got really lucky. I mean, if you want to call it lucky or fortunate or, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but winning my second PGA Tour event, it was good. I mean, I think the best thing of that is that it kind of opened a lot of opportunities just to become a PGA Tour event, being able to kind of establish myself on the tour from the early points, not having to struggle so much like some of the younger guys do, which is always hard to stay on the PGA Tour. For me, it was a lot easier, obviously, for winning, but you still have to work hard and do all the great things to stay there, but obviously winning early made a big difference.
I read that you studied kinesiology. Did this affect your golf play somehow, or could you get something out of it for your playing?
Well, I mean, one of the things, I mean, obviously I've always went, I mean, I went to Texas, you obviously to play golf, but you had to go to school, you had to get a degree, and kinesiology and everything about the body and how everything works and all of that stuff, I always saw interesting, especially been playing a sport, which I think is a knowledge that I've been able to use to my own benefit, and on how to properly keep my body function, all of that health stuff that we all need on a regular basis. But while in school, it was tough. I mean, you had to, pretty much spend half of the day at school and the other half of the day, on the golf course. But it was fun. I mean, it was a time that I remember with a lot of joy.
We heard Matt Wallace talk about, he won 3 times last year on the European Tour, and he was talking about the next step, winning bigger tournaments. Is that something that you want to achieve, that you want to compete in majors?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's a goal. Like I said, I've won 3 times in the PGA Tour already, through regular events, and the goal is to win majors, as simple as that, to put yourself in that position. I haven't been extremely successful at that, so obviously part of the goal is to be there winning those, and a big part of it, obviously, playing overseas, playing in other places, having that exposure in other parts of the world, developing your game that way, is part of the formula of becoming a better player.
You had your big moment at the Players on 17. I remember.
Yeah. That was a good moment for sure. I think it would have been better if I would have won that week, but I finished third. Just one of those magical moments in golf. I mean, fun to remember. Probably one of those things that I'll remember for the rest of my life. Yeah. Like I said, an iconic hole. An iconic moment that stay with me forever.
One more question about your home country. It's obviously a very difficult situation there at the moment. How much are you still tied to Venezuela? How much do you follow?
Oh, I mean, every day. I wake up every day just reading the news and seeing how everything, what's happening. We need to get rid of the government, as simple as that. It doesn't matter how it happens, but it needs to happen. There's so many people struggling, so many people dying, so many people hurting, just because of the simple fact that we have this government in power, and they don't seem to do anything to support the country, to make the country better. So seem to be an authoritarian government that just wants to do it their way whenever they want, and they don't care about anyone else. So when you have that, even if you're not related to politics, even if you're a regular citizen, I just heard seeing your country go through so much hell. I know, obviously, through the years, you guys have gone through a lot of that stuff here. But for us right now, it's something similar where we just have tons of people dying on a regular basis because of simple stuff. I mean, lack of food, lack of medicine, lack of clean water, stuff like that, which, you know, in the 20th century, we shouldn't be having that type of issue, just those type of issues, and we are right now. So we're probably one of the worst countries in the world when it comes down to living, kind of living quality. So something needs to happen, and obviously I've always been super outspoken about it, but it just has sad seeing your people hurting that way.
Absolutely. How much has golf been affected by the last years? And you know, I guess there's not
it's hard, man. It's hard. Just a simple fact that obviously people, you know, critique a lot. You know, how outspoken I've been about it, and how, you know, in touch I've been and emotional I've been about the whole situation, which, yeah, I don't feel like it's hurt golf, but, you know, it's another, you know, worry that I have. I still have family there that I have to, you know, find a way to help. So, I mean, I have, you know, uncles and cousins on a regular basis talking to me about help to leave the country and go places and do this and do that. So when you have to deal with that type of stuff, it's not easy. But like I said, I feel like I've managed it well enough to, you know, it hasn't really made an impact on the game. But like I said, something extra that I wish I wouldn't have to deal with.
Vielen Dank an Jonathan Vegas, vielen Dank an Felix Hasensteiner, Tom Carlyle und natürlich an unsere Nurgolf-Expertin Desiree Wolf. Für euch vor Ort in München, Eichenried. Sie wird sich über die nächsten Tage bei euch immer wieder melden mit Interviews, mit Stimmen, mit Eindrücken von vor Ort. Ihr verpasst nichts von diesem Turnier hier bei Nurgolf auf meinsportpodcast.de, Deutschlands größtem Sportpodcast-Portal. Abonniert einfach unseren Nurgolf-Feed, den Golf-Feed, und dann seid ihr immer bestens informiert mit dem Podcatcher eures Vertrauens.
Nur Golf auf meinsportpodcast.de. Willkommen bei meinsportpodcast.de. Wir sind Podcast.
Wir bieten euch die größte Auswahl an Sportpodcasts, die der deutschsprachige Raum so zu bieten hat.
Über 20 Sportarten, mehr als 45 Podcast-Serien, über 9000 veröffentlichte Podcasts und über 5 Millionen Podcast-Downloads allein im Jahr 2018. Wir sind Podcast. Wir sind meinsportpodcast.de.